Okay, let's get it. It is Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona. Glad to have you with us here. You can catch me every weekday afternoon on ESPN Radio, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, Cox Sports TV, and right here on the Locked On LSU podcast. So it's already Wednesday. Ed Ogeron met with the media on Tuesday, as did LSU players. You'll hear from Grant Delpa, Caleb on Chasson, Joe Burrow, and the head Tiger, who talked about facing Texas this week.
Obviously, we're going to face a great opponent in Texas this week on the road. It's going to be a very good challenge for our football team, but we're going to be up for it.
So we'll talk and let's hear much more from Ed Ogeron, what he had to say on Tuesday when he met with the media, specifically about this game, but also about sort of the Tom Herman angle. We mentioned it yesterday. Tom Herman addressed it, although downplayed it completely. Ross Dellinger earlier this week wrote a very comprehensive piece about the 2016 LSU coaching search. Here's what Ed Ogeron said when he was asked about Tom Herman nearly getting this job in 2016.
Don't care. I mean, I'm happy to be the coach at LSU, and this is about our football players against their football players, so none of that means anything.
He's right. I think it matters a lot to the fans at LSU. I think if LSU and Ed Ogeron were to get a win over one of the golden boys, air quotes, one of the hot names in coaching, a guy who's a Mensa, if Ed Ogeron and LSU were able to get that win, it would be a pound-your-chest moment for LSU fans. I think in the macro, in the big picture of college football, that angle really doesn't matter, though. What does matter is who's going to be on the field. And Ed Ogeron was asked specifically about Sadiq Charles and Mike Divinity, your starting left tackle and starting inside backer, who both missed the game on Saturday against Georgia Southern.
Do you expect Sadiq and Mike Divinity to play this week?
Yes, both of them will play this week.
So that is mightily significant heading into this ball game. Sadiq Charles is your starting left tackle, and quite honestly, Badara Traore, Dar Rosenthal as a left tackle were serviceable in a game against Georgia Southern. But if you're realistically looking at going into this game on the road against Texas, 4- and 5-star defensive linemen in that front, I would feel much better about having the guy who started there all of last year, even if he had his struggles. But I'd feel much more comfortable with a guy who's been on the road at Florida, who's been on the road at Auburn, who's been on the road at A&M, who's been in games against Alabama, who's been in that fire before as your starting left tackle going into this week against University of Texas. Now, the biggest question we had coming into the season, and something we talked a lot about, was the offensive line and how by now they were 59th in rush offense, they were 102nd in sacks allowed, 100th in tackles for loss allowed. They struggled a year ago. Would they be better? Ed Ogeron said they're the most improved group on the team in fall camp. He was asked on Tuesday when he met with the media, Ed Ogeron was, what the film showed of the offensive line from the Georgia Southern game.
Well, Austin Deckler has played better than he's played with more consistency. Badar Traore played pretty good. He made some mistakes. Some of the other guys weren't ready. We still have the left guard position still has to get better. Obviously, Lloyd is Lloyd and D. Lou is D. Lou, and they're very consistent. I do believe having Sadiq back this week at left tackle is going to help us. But, again, we're going to get tested now. These guys are going to blitz. They're good rushers. They're on the edge. We have to win our one-on-ones. Let's see after this game.
So that wasn't exactly an overwhelming, ringing endorsement for the offensive line. It was very much a, we need to get some guys back. Some guys did good things. We'll know much more after this game, which is all very true. But it is one of those things where you can look at an otherwise pristine performance and say, you really didn't get tremendous push running the ball between the tackles. You averaged 3.7 yards a carry. Can that improve this week on the road at Texas if you get into a tight ball game and need to control the clock? That is something worth watching. On the other side of the ball, having Mike Divinity back is huge. Now, Ed Ogeron has sung Damone Clark's praises all throughout camp. He got the start in Divinity's place. So Ed Ogeron was asked how he handles the linebacker rotation now with Divinity back.
We're going to go through the week and see what happens. You know, obviously, we're going to work Michael back in. We think Michael's an excellent linebacker for us and also can play out the line of scrimmage sometimes when we need him. We're going to see how we can work those guys in, what maybe a first down situation for somebody else, a third down situation for somebody else, and play all four of them in equal snaps. They deserve it.
So he says he'll play all four of those linebackers, those inside backers, equal snaps. And I think that speaks to the depth LSU has at that position. As we've talked about a lot here on the podcast, the deepest LSU's been at inside linebacker probably since 2009, 2010, where you have that many guys that are all interchangeable. And this week, that's going to be massive because you're facing a quarterback in Sam Ehlinger who can throw the ball, threw for over 3,000 yards and 27 touchdowns a year ago, but also at 6'3", 230 is a guy that will run single-wing power. I asked Ed Ogeron on Tuesday who he would compare Sam Ehlinger to, and I was glad he mentioned the name he did and the manner in which he stated this because it's exactly what we've been talking about on this podcast now for several months. Give a listen.
You know, he reminds me a little bit of Tebow. And I was at another school and we had to play Tebow. And I'm not saying he's as good as Tebow. I'm not saying he's not, but he reminds me of that type of player, but he's a better thrower.
That is going to get a lot of people's attention, but it's a completely appropriate comparison. At 6'3", 230, taking a shotgun snap out of a single back or a single wing, Sam Ehlinger has this way of, on third and three, getting 4 yards. He's a tough runner between the tackles, which means you will find out a lot this week about LSU's defensive front seven. If in short yardage situations they can bow up and stuff Sam Ehlinger, then you know you're legit. Look, Ehlinger last year ran for just under 500 yards, but he had 16 rushing touchdowns. When they got in the red area, he was a difference maker. He was a guy that could tuck the ball, make a play with his feet, and get Texas into the end zone. That's something LSU certainly is going to have to deal with this week. And look, they're going to face other running quarterbacks down the line. You know Tua can tuck it and run. You know Kellen Mond can certainly do the same. The thing that flipped the Florida game last year was when Felipe Franks started running the sprint option plays. They're going to see a lot of that this year, so this is a great test, which will be very telling for the rest of the season as well. Speaking of Sam Ehlinger, he did meet with the media on Tuesday as well and talked about this LSU matchup.
I would say just understanding the talent that you're going against and understanding the program and the prestige of their program. So when you play prestigious programs like LSU, like USC, Oklahoma, it's fun. I mean, you grow up watching those schools and you grow up knowing how good they are. And so just to understand that you're playing against that program adds some motivation in itself.
Texas quarterback Sam Ehlinger saying all the right things leading up to Saturday's game at Darrell K. Royal Memorial Stadium there in Austin, Texas. Want to knock out a break. We'll come back. You'll hear from former LSU quarterback Rohan Davey assessing Joe Burrow's play in the offense in week one. Also, you'll hear from Joe Burrow, Kalevon Chasson, and Grant Delpit before we get out of here. So stick around. It is Locked on LSU, your team every day. We continue Locked on LSU, your team every day. We'll get to Rohan Davey here in just a quick second with the former LSU quarterback thought about LSU's season-opening win over Georgia Southern. But the NFL season begins this week, which means Crossover Wednesday will be back for the entire regular NFL season. You get a special episode every Wednesday as the hosts from opposing sides meet up to preview the excitement of the games happening that week. So find your favorite team wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure not to miss the NFL listeners' favorite segment on Crossover Wednesday. All right, it's Locked on LSU. We invite you always to subscribe to the podcast. Like us, rate us on iTunes. All that is a gigantic help. And we have a chance each week to visit with former LSU quarterback Rohan Davey, talk a little bit about the game the week before and to preview the game ahead. And with LSU having such an overwhelming offensive performance against Georgia Southern, I wanted to ask Roe, who had a chance to see this team a lot in their scrimmages and through fall camp, if there was anything he saw in the week one win over Georgia Southern that surprised him.
It surprised me how clean the game was for us as a team. Normally, just like we've seen with every other team this opening weekend and even last week, you saw substitution issues. You saw play calling issues as far as not getting the guys in the game quick enough for the substitution. You saw a lot of infractions with just offsides and false starts and stuff like that. And we didn't have many of those. It was a very clean, it was clean game, and that surprised me. That's just a testament to those coaches having those guys ready to go. I mean, kicking game, offensively and defensively, we were clean, man. So that surprised me how clean the game was.
It's hard when it's 55-3 and everything goes so well. It's hard to pluck things to say, okay, improve there.
Sure.
But if you had to find something as you look through the minutia of the game and say, yeah, I'd like to see him improve on that, what would it be?
Probably inside running, running in between the tackles. That seemed like it was it wasn't as easy as it maybe should have been. So I'm sure that's if you're nitpicking, that's the area that I say offensively we'll have to clean up. Defensively, man, we were pretty solid. I saw just one or two times with communication with the safety and the corners. But like I said, we're nitpicking.
What did you think about how they handled the running back rotation?
I think what they were trying to do is just see with the young guys, trying to see how they were going to perform with the lights on, first time in Tiger Stadium, first time in a collegiate game. I think they rotated them well, just trying to see, you know, what this guy can do, what can this guy do, and just to see their temperament in the game. So I think the rotation is good, and they was trying to figure it out. But I think that was a perfect game for you to try to figure it out with those guys, especially how well we were playing offensively.
Were you like every other fan watching that game, just feeling like this explosive euphoria to actually see LSU run would look like a modern offense?
I don't think I had the same as everyone else.
Why?
Because I kind of it wasn't surprising to me to see them play well, that unit. It was just surprising to me to see how clean they played. I was excited that we played a team that normally in the past, if we would have played a team like that in the past, we just wouldn't have looked this good against them.
Right.
So for me, the step is you look good against a team that you were supposed to beat, that you were supposed to look this good against. And in the past, normally we would have won the football game, but it wouldn't have looked that dominant. So for me, you playing and looking as dominant as you guys, as they did, it just shows that, okay, maybe we've taken that step to where we're not playing down to the competition, or we're not taking anything for granted, or we are that dominant, one of those dominant programs this year that are going to take care of business. So that's what it did for me, hope that, okay, this is what a Clemson would do. This is what a Bama would do to a team like this. Okay, guys came out very focused and ready to play. The coaches had them ready to go. So I was just like, okay, love it. You know what I mean? Let's see if we can be this efficient next week. But just for a first week, yeah, I was thrilled, man.
If you want to hear our full conversation with Rohan Davey, we spent a good 20 minutes, and we talked not only about the Georgia Southern game. He did a little chalk talk breaking down the little tunnel screen that LSU ran. I guess it was a Z screen that LSU ran to Terrace Marshall, his third touchdown of the first half. And then we also previewed some with the Texas game. You can go to 1045ESPN.com, click After Further Review on demand. You can hear the whole interview with Rohan, or however you're listening to this podcast, if you just search 1045 ESPN Baton Rouge, you'll see the Rohan Davey interview under Tuesday's date. All right, it is Locked On LSU, your team every day. We'll knock out our final break. When we come back, you'll hear from Joe Burrow, Caleb Von Chasson, and Grant Delpit, all previewing the Texas matchup, including those Texas DBU T-shirts. What did Delpit have to say about it? You'll hear it next. Locked On LSU, your team every day. Wrapping up another edition of the Locked On LSU podcast, your team every day. So yesterday on the podcast, I told you my feeling on Texas wearing the DBU shirts. I don't really care. If guys get motivation from it, fine. I just don't care who proclaims themselves DBU. I think LSU's proof is what it is, and the guys that they've put into the NFL, the national award winners they've had. Texas has had good players there as well. If they want to call themselves DBU, okay. There is no result on the field. It's not like there's a final score that measures that to award that title. But it's become sort of this fan engagement point of contention this week. Well, Grant Delpit is a projected number one pick. He's a consensus All-American, a unanimous All-American. What did he think about All-American? What did he think about
that? Oh, you know, I seen it. I respect it. They got great DBs and all. But, you know, we try to focus on us, man. We're not worried about, you know, their DB shirts and all that. You know, we ain't trying to give them too much attention.
So Grant Delpit saying all the right things. Kalavon Chaisson, however, not shying away from any type of controversy. Yesterday on the podcast, we let you hear what Chaisson said about Sam Ehlinger. He was asked by reporters on Tuesday if he regretted the comment. He said that I say what I mean, and I mean what I say, not backing down from it, and then took it a step further when talking about Texas.
It's definitely going to be a good game next week. Obviously, going against people from the Texas area. The guys really strongly believe they have a chance. I don't, but it's, you know what I'm saying, that's what you're supposed to do. But like I said, it's gonna be a good game.
I mean, Kalavon Chaisson is single-handedly trying to make sure that Texas is not at all lacking for any motivation in this ball game. In some respects, I can respect what he's saying. He's got a lot of self-belief in himself and in his team. The other part of it is, my guess is that Ogeron would probably rather Kalavon not be throwing out this amount of bulletin board material every single day. But here we are. It's certainly going to add a more intriguing layer to the matchup. As for Joe Burrow, he's a guy that typically is very confident but also doesn't give a bunch through the media. Really good piece by Brody Miller at The Athletic about both Tom Herman and Joe Burrow and their relationship. Of course, Herman was at Ohio State recruiting a then high school quarterback in Joe Burrow, and Burrow was asked about playing against Tom Herman this weekend.
Everybody from Athens calls me Joey, and so the first time he ever met me, I was sophomore in high school, introduced myself as Joey, and he heard everybody call me Joey, so I guess he just calls me Joey from now on. Pretty crazy, isn't it? I never would have thought I would be, well, first off, I never thought I would be playing anybody at LSU, let alone Coach Herman in a primetime non-conference matchup, so it's crazy how things work out like that.
If nothing else, it should be super validating that Tom Herman, who was a national championship-winning offensive coordinator at Ohio State for Urban Meyer, who of course won three national titles in his career, were recruiting Joe Burrow to Ohio State. That in and of itself is validating of the talent that Burrow has, and my guess is he'll have a little extra juice this weekend, knowing who's standing on the other sideline. Burrow also responded to a lot of the praise the offense has gotten so far since Saturday.
Yeah, it was nice, but at the end of the day, it was game one. We still have 11 games left. You know, we could tank in the final 11 games, and everybody would be, you know, right back bashing us. So we got to just stay on the grind and keep working.
A measured approach from LSU quarterback Joe Burrow as the Tigers head to Austin this weekend to take on the Texas Longhorns. Of course, you know that 6:30 kickoff on ABC. On tomorrow's episode of the podcast, we'll hear from both Ed Ogeron and Tom Herman yet again before the matchup. We'll get you updates into the week. And then on Friday, of course, a full preview and prediction for the Tigers and the Longhorns. Until then, we appreciate you for being here. It's Locked on LSU, your team every day.